The English camp we taught at this summer is one component of a Romanian ministry. The leaders of this ministry have a profound commitment to Jesus Christ and the university students. The students that come to camp are interested in learning English and/or learning more about God. Relationships are established at the camp, and the leaders of the ministry continue those relationships throughout the year. Aggressive evangelism with the intent to see immediate results is not that effective with university students. However, modeling Christ by focusing on building relationships and establishing lasting friendships is. The students' emotions are not manipulated, and they are not bombarded with evangelism at the camp. As a result, the students trust the ministry leaders and they trust us. They want to maintain a relationship with the ministry, and they want to continue participating in activities throughout the year. Personal evangelism through relationships works best in Romania, especially with the students. Sometimes God chooses the camp setting as the perfect time to draw someone to himself and into his kingdom. Florine is a third-year medical student, and he had planned to study in Germany for the summer. 2 days before this English camp began, he was denied that opportunity to study. He came to the camp with low expectations, very skeptical of Americans and the value of the camp. He also came to camp believing that he had to clean up his life before Jesus Christ would accept him. As he listened to the truth of the gospel throughout the week, he understood that Jesus Christ would accept him as he was. He simply needed to place his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Florine committed his life to Jesus Christ on the final day of the camp. Its obedience and availability permits us to participate in God's perfect plans. And we are certain that the students learned more of God and his character at the camp. We thank you for your prayers and support for the ministry in Romania. We ask that you continue to pray for the ministry leaders as they continue those relationships.
When some people think of Mexico, they think of beautiful and ancient buildings. I think of a small, one-room house with a dirt floor. Some think of important people and brave leaders. But I think of a humble, grateful father and his smiling family. Some think of cities like Acapulco, Guadalajara, or Mexico City, but I think of Rio Bravo. On the mission trip this year, I left my comfort zone completely and stepped out into the real world, and I haven't regretted it for a moment. When I stepped off the bus, I began an adventure of a lifetime. We worked every day building a house for a poor family in the neighborhood. Yes, the work was hard. And every day I faced intense heat, exhaustion, and trying to keep a cheerful attitude. I was also faced with frustration. I had never used a hammer before, so building a house was a major learning experience. I learned a lot about patience, self-control, and teamwork. Even though the work was hard, I had a lot of fun. Not only did I get to know my team from Wayside better, but I also grew closer to God. Every night we had worship time, which is something I always look forward to. I think the children are what impacted me the most. They were always smiling and laughing, sometimes just wanting to hold your hands and be near you. They were so poor, yet so happy. They didn't want the newest toy or expensive clothes. They just wanted us to play with them, to laugh with them, to love them. This truly touched my heart. Before this trip, I was selfish in many ways. My desire was for worldly things, and I was often judgmental of others and very discontented. God has changed my heart and given me a new outlook on life. I hope God uses me again to serve people in another country, but if not, I know there are great needs in the city I live in. I will always cherish this trip, and when I think of Mexico, I will remember faces. Faces I will probably not see again in this life, but hopefully one day in heaven.
A I'd like for you to just look around you as I ask the following question. How many of you in this congregation have been on a short-term missionary trip across over to the city's west side? Would you please raise your hand if you went while Luis Palau was here? All of you that went on that trip. You see, and then others of you have been on short-term missionary trips to other parts of the world. Would you please raise your hands? And so you see, this is some of the work that you have been doing around the world. I'd like to have you pray with me, if you would. Pray with us. Our Father, as a congregation, we thank you for making souls available in order to reach out to others around the world. Right here in our hometown, Father, you've gotten this congregation involved in the San Juan Homes ministry, in inner city ministries, Father, and we thank you for that. But especially today, Father, we thank you for the souls of young people from our congregation that were changed perhaps for a lifetime, Father, as a consequence of being willing to get up from their comfort zones and go across the border to a little town like Rio Bravo. We thank you, Father, for the Christians in Mexico. We thank you for those hearts that received you, Father, as a consequence of these youth being able and willing, Father, to go and share your light. We thank you as well, Father, for the college and young adults that went to Romania to the English camp, Father, to Timișoara. We thank you for the fact that they again made themselves available, Father, from 6 o'clock in the morning until midnight for 2 solid weeks, Father, sharing your word, sharing your praise, Father, and your adoration in all that they said and did. Thank you, Father, because they are affecting and impacting the lives of people that will be the next generation of leaders in that country. We thank you as well, Father, for what happened in the Ukraine, in Zaporozhye, and the little village that we just heard about. We thank you, Father, for the fact that, again, some other people gave up their vacation time, gave up their job, Father, and their earnings for a time in order to go share your word. In our bulletin today, Father, you know that we have so many other teams that have gone to other countries around the world. And we thank you, Father, for those people that, again, not only stood up and went, but for those thousands of people from our congregation that were prayer partners and financial partners, for those moms and dads, and for those husbands and wives that were willing to let their spouse go, Father, in order for them to be able to share your light around the world. We thank you for this opportunity. We thank you for a congregation that has a hunger to serve in other parts of the world. We thank you, Father, for the fact that we can team up in Africa, in Asia, in Latin America, Father, in Europe. We thank you for opening up these opportunities for us to serve, Father. It's in your name that we pray.
We continue to lift up our Father, the ministry in Ukraine, and thank you for what you have accomplished during these past few years there. We thank you for the new churches that are being established in the Zaporozhye region, for the medical training facility that's being established. And we pray that through that, Jesus Christ might be lifted up and exalted as men and women see their physical needs met. We pray for the Zaporozhye Bible College in the training of pastors and worship leaders, Christian education directors. And in the midst of a shortage of spiritual leaders, we pray that we might have a part in raising up a whole new generation of leaders that will lead out in the churches of that land and will go as missionaries to other countries. We pray as we make plans for the possibility of a evangelistic crusade throughout Ukraine, working with Luis Palau and other evangelists for the year 2000. That there might be a real confirmation of your spirit saying, this is the way, walk in it. That the word of God might go forth in demonstration of spirit and of power. And now, our Father, we commit to you our morning offering. We thank you for the generosity of our people. And as your ministry goes forth around the world, we give you thanks. And we pray that these gifts might indeed overflow to the many praises of God
around the world. And we pray in Christ's name, amen.
Sing with me.
Oh, when I think of all the many millions who do not know the sound of your sweet name, who do not know the miracle of Calvary, who never can your great salvation claim, then Christ my heart, oh teach me, Lord, to care. Oh teach me, Lord, teach me to care. Then Christ my heart, oh teach me, Lord, to care. Oh teach me, Lord, teach me to care. But when they know that Jesus died to save them, and when they know the grace he can impart, when Jesus shines his love divine within them, when he transforms their sinful darkened heart, then they shall sing, my Savior God, to you, how great you are, how great you are. Then they shall sing, my Savior God, to you, how great you are, how great you are.
Our last point this morning, I will be very brief. Notice the means by which we are to accomplish this great commission. Our mission is to preach. Our message is the remission, repentance, and remission of sin. And then notice finally the means by which we are to carry this out. Look at verse 48 and 49. And you, he said, are the witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of the Father upon you, my Father upon you. You tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued. Literally in the Greek it means clothed with power from on high. We are inadequate in and of ourselves. And the Father knew that. Jesus knew that. That we were not equipped to be able to go out into enemy territory, penetrate, and have an effective ministry for Jesus Christ. Certainly not to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he sent his Spirit, and that happened in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit of God came, and as John Stott so succinctly has put it, he said, before Christ sent the church into the world, he sent the Spirit, his Spirit, into the church to be able to equip us. So the issue is no longer will we have the power and the enablement, but the issue is really, are we going to be available to God to carry out the Great Commission and become part of it? As Vance Havner used to say it, it's not our ability, but it's our availability. That's what God wants of us. Not our ability, but our availability. And every one of us that have gone on short-term mission trips have experienced that energizing power of the Holy Spirit coming in and taking over at a time when we feel like we have absolutely nothing to give. He energizes us and he uses us to be able to accomplish his ministry, the ministry that he ultimately desires coming from us. We have a number of people that are going to be going out mission trips in days and weeks to come, and some of them are doctors, and they say, you know, we're going to a place in the Ukraine or some other place where we don't have all of the equipment that we have here, and there's a little bit of apprehension on their part. But I know this, when they come back, they're going to come back having been energized by the Spirit, having been used by the Spirit of God, and discerning and knowing in experience that the Spirit of God is more than adequate to do the job through us. And that's what He does. That's what it's about. After the bombing of the American embassy in Beirut, in which 250 U.S. Marines were killed, many were wounded, there was a very memorable scene which took place. On national television, there was a picture of General Paul Kelly leaning over a young Marine who had been blinded by the explosion. He was not only blind, but he also had a tracheotomy in his throat. He could not see, he could not speak. But as the general bent over him, he reached up, he touched the four stars on the general's shoulder. Well, a few days later, 2 days later, the Marine had a birthday. And General Paul Kelly brought those four stars back to this young Marine as a birthday present to give to him. And the general looked down at him and he said, "Son, we are so proud of you for what you have given for your country." And the young man who could not see, who could not speak, he motioned for a pencil and a paper. And on that paper, he wrote two words that appear on the insignia of the Marines. What are those words? Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis, however you might say it. I understand it's said different ways, but it means always faithful. Always faithful. And that's what God wants of us. Jesus just simply wants us to be available with our resources, financially, with our prayers, with our sending, with our being sent and going, but to be available to be used by His Spirit. And in the process, we're going to be used just as we have heard from these folks today and how God has used them. Let's bow together in prayer. You may be here this morning and you sense that things are not right between you and your Creator. The great need for you is, as this text would say it, repent, to have a change of mind, to realize the direction you're moving in is not a good direction, that you're staying away from God, you desire to have a renewed relationship, a new relationship with Him. And He made it possible because of His gift, Christ being offered on that cross. But as the Bible says, whoever looks to Him shall live. Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should never perish but have everlasting life. So your response, your right response, is to simply believe that the provision that Christ made for you on that cross was adequate. And I would encourage you this morning, if you need to talk to someone, you come at the end of the service. But I would like to speak to those of us who are God's people. How are you going to fit into this great commission? We're not only responsible to go to the ends of the earth, but right here, Jesus said, beginning in Jerusalem, this is our Jerusalem, getting the word out, keeping that as the priority in our lives. And I would encourage you, if you need to make a renewed decision today, and a renewed commitment today to the Great Commission, that you do that. You say, "Lord, I am available. It's not my ability, it's my availability, and I simply give you my availability and the resources that you've given to me to get the message out." Father, thank you for what you have done, what you are doing, continue to do. We give you praise through Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Joe Callen, Art Stacer, Travis Johnson, and myself were in Lake Jackson, Texas, on an inner city ministry trip. We had already been there for quite some time, and on our last day of ministry, we'd been witnessing on the streets for a couple of hours, so we decided to wrap things up and head for home. Brother Art Stacer had a leading of the Lord to witness to some gang members as we were driving by at the corner of a street in what we call a hot spot in California. It's a place where drugs are sold openly to people passing by in the vehicles or on foot. As we stopped the vehicle and exited, these six young men came rushing up to us to sell us drugs, propositioning us, making motions to see what we wanted. We immediately let them know that we weren't there to purchase drugs, but to share with them the love of Jesus Christ. It was then, at that time, that I saw one of the most awesome displays of God's power. These young men who came up to us bent on selling us drugs, in front of all to see, bowed their heads before the Most High God, asking Him to forgive them and to save them. It was truly a most moving sight. When we were done praying with these young men to receive Christ, we gave them each a New Testament. We got their names and addresses for follow-up. We encouraged them to pray each day and to attend a Bible-believing church. We assured them of their salvation, as we do with all who come to pray with us to receive Christ. Truly, this past 6 months, God has done an awesome, awesome harvest. He's brought a mighty harvest in. Over 3,000 souls have trusted Christ in the past 7 months. As Jesus Christ Himself said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. All glory and all honor belong to God. Please continue to pray for our inner city ministry. We're on a trip to New Orleans in the first week of November. God bless you and thank you.
For the sake of the call, but the sake of the call, wholly devoted to live and to die, for the sake of the call. Nobody stood and applauded them, so they knew from the start this road would not lead to fame. All they really knew for sure was Jesus had called to them. He said, come follow me, and they came. With reckless abandon they came, empty nets lying there at the water's edge, told a story that few could believe and none could explain. How some crazy fishermen agreed to go where Jesus led, with no thought for what they would gain. For Jesus had called them by name, and they answered, we will abandon it all for the sake of the call, no other reason at all but the sake of the call, wholly devoted to live and to die for the sake of the call, the sake of the call. Drawn like the rivers are drawn to the sea, there's no turning back, for the water cannot help but flow. Once we hear the Savior's call, we'll follow wherever He leads, because of the love He has shown, because He's called us to go. We will answer, we will abandon it all for the sake of the call, no other reason at all but the sake of the call, wholly devoted to live and to die, not for the sake of the creed or a cause, not for a dream or a promise, simply because it is Jesus who called, and if we believe, we'll obey. Abandon it all for the sake of the call.
No other reason
at all. Let go be.
Visiting with us this morning, you'd like more information on Wayside and a loaf of bread, come through these doors. If you have not yet joined Wayside, there's a new members class that's going to be offered in October, and you can respond by calling the church office on that. Now to him who is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Together we say, amen. Amen. Have a great week.